live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, an inspiring today word that will help you battle through today's challenges. Listen and enjoy this exciting message and let the presence of the Lord work through you to reach the world for Jesus Christ. True love, pure worship, real answers.
Well, back in May of 2012, God began to speak to me about the name Bethel and who we are as a church. You know, all of us, the Bethelites. That's us. He began to talk to me. And he asked me a question. He said, "Do you know what Bethel means?" And I said, "Well, yes, yes. I know what it means. It means house of God." And then he asked me, "Do you know where you are?" And I'm going, "Yes, God, I know where I am." And then I'm thinking, okay, all right. Generally, when God asks me a really, really simplistic question, there's a whole lot more in the answer. And so he sent me on a digging mission. And then as I'm digging, as I'm studying, he and I are having a dialogue. We started having a discussion about what Bethel is and if I, not just me, but we know where we are. And so today I just want to share with you our conversation. Just want to share with you our conversation. The name Bethel, and I hope we all know this, but if you're new to Bethel, this is just nice. This is our orientation class today. We're all going to walk out oriented. Hallelujah. So the name Bethel is a Hebrew word, and it's a word made up of two words. The first word is Beth, and that word means house. Okay? So Bethel, Beth, house. Then the second word of this two-part word is El, and El means God. Really simple. So Bethel means house of God. Now, numerous events in Bible history occurred at the city of Bethel, in the city or around the city, in the near vicinity of Bethel. And one of the biggie events that occurred at Bethel was God's appearance to Abraham and to Jacob. And today, the Lord wants us to focus on his appearance to Jacob. So let's all turn to Genesis chapter 28. And I'm going to start reading at verse 10. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. If you have any other type of version, like New Living Translation or New International Version, it's going to say stairway. But in New King James, it says ladder. So let's start at verse 10. Genesis 28, verse 10. "Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and at its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it." Ooh, exciting. "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you.' Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it.' And he was afraid, and he said, 'How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven.' Then Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it." Really juicy scripture. right? There's so much in it. And so, and you know, especially if you've grown up in the church, you know the story of Jacob's ladder. Everybody knows the song. We are climbing. Everybody, Jacob's ladder, ladder, we are climbing. Jacob's ladder, we are climbing. Jacob's ladder, soldier of the cross. Well, everybody knows that song. Fun little song. And I tell you, we used to sing that. And then, I really like the part, every round goes higher and higher, because that was the part where we were allowed to actually run in church. And so I got up and I would run. And it was fun. So, you know, it's just fun. It's just a little fun remembrance there. Now, what the Lord just wants us to understand is that as he was taking me through this wonderful story, he told me to write down four things. And the first thing he told me to write is, Bethel is a place where heaven touches earth. Yeah, you got it already, right? Bethel is a place where heaven touches earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to try not to shout, but it's going to be hard. And then the second point he said, a place to hear and receive my promises. That's what Bethel is. Bethel is a place to hear and receive my promises. Woo, that's exciting. Glory to God. And then the third thing he said from this scripture is Bethel is a place to dream dreams. Yeah, we can dream. Hallelujah. I'm not going to get ahead of myself. And then he said, Bethel is a place to rest. Those are the four things he said to me. And I was like, okay, so this scripture is more than the little song that I grew up singing in children's church. It's a little more. It's deeper. It's weightier. It's awesome. Yeah, so let's talk about these points. Let's talk about these points. The first point, Bethel is a place where heaven touches earth. And you can refer to that again in Genesis chapter 28, verse 12. I'm going to read that again. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Guess what? It didn't just happen in that instance. It was happening all the time. And Jacob, he fell asleep and he was still. He was still and quiet enough to see what the Lord was doing. Angels are going up and down all the time. Bethel is a place where heaven touches earth. Guess what? The Lord says, you are Bethel. We here in Tupper's Plains are a place where heaven touches earth. Glory to the name of God. What a privilege, what an honor that he said, we here in Tupper's Plains and Meigs County, the place, you know, where everybody says there's drugs and poverty and there's so much of it. We here in Tupper's Plains are a place where heaven touches earth. Glory to the name of God. Hallelujah. Now, the Lord started talking to me about this way back in like 2009. Was it 2009 when I first came here? Was it? See, you know, this is one of the things. I tell you, when you're in the prophetic, you lose dates. And I can never remember the time when something happens, so I always have to ask Otis. So I'm going to do that a lot today because I just don't know. But I think in 2009 was the first time that I came to this building. Now, I had been to Bethel previously in the other locations because I think I sang for some Bride of Christ or something. And so I had been here then in the other building. But when I came here in 2009 and I walked through the door, I smelled this wonderful fragrance. And I felt fragrance and I felt a breeze. And I was like, whew, because, you know, that's just me. I'm outward like that. And I was just like, woo. And I remember Kim Ramey looked at me and she said, what are you doing? I was like, I don't know. And I just was like, woo. And I smelled it. And oh, it was so good. It was so good. And the Lord uses my sense of smell very often because I'm very, just in my physical, my body, my flesh, I'm very smell oriented. Generally, if something I'm about to eat, if it doesn't smell good, I can't eat it. And generally, I'll be nauseous. So the Lord uses my sense of smell because it's very heightened and very aware. And so as I was coming through this door, I just smelled the smell and I felt this breeze and it was wonderful. And I had no idea what it was. The only way I can describe it is like, you know, picture a beautiful spring day. The wind's blowing and you smell those purple flowers. It was like that, but so much better. It was just better. It was better than that. And it took me a few years to understand that God was saying something to me more about this house, this group of people, this congregation, Bethel and Tupper's Plains. And when he brought to me this discussion in May of 2012, I'm starting to read this, and then I read the scripture, and then I just started to smell that fragrance again, and I felt that breeze again, and I was like, oh, this is where heaven touches earth. That's what I smelled. And the reason why I smelled that when I walked through the door, because heaven was touching earth. It's exciting. It was so exciting. And I was like, oh my goodness, I thought I was just visiting someplace, you know, because I was on sabbatical from my former congregation. I was just kind of visiting some places. And I walked through the door and I smelled that. And then the Lord told me in May of 2012, and the smell came back again. And I was like, oh, I get it. Bethel is a place where heaven touches earth. And I could smell it. And it was just grand. It was exciting. And the Lord said to me in that moment, once I put it together, because, you know, sometimes I think the Lord looks at me and says, girl, it takes you a little while, but when you get it, you get it. And so I felt like he was saying that to me. And then when I got it, he said to me very clearly, he said, when I bring people to this church, I want them to have an experience not like that. Not that same exact experience of a fragrance or a smell, but the Lord says, I want them to have a personal, specific experience that relates totally to them so that they know that I'm talking directly to them. He wants people to know that when you come to this church, when you are in the parking lot, even in the parking lot, Bethel is a place where heaven touches earth. And he says that's what he wants his people to experience when they come onto this property. Now, he desires for all of us to have this personal experience, and he desires Bethel to truly be his house so that when people come in, they know exactly, okay, there's something different about this place. I've never been to something like this before. I don't get it. I don't understand it, but I like it. And that's the experience that God wants people to have when they come here. Now, part of the reason why he wants people to have that type of experience, because he's saying to us that I'm going to bring people that are lost, people that are hurting, people that are searching. And when you're lost, hurting, and searching, you don't want to hear just a general word. You don't want to hear a thing that, okay, that relates to the five people sitting next to me. No, you want to hear something that relates personally to you, to your situation. And God says, guess what? That's exactly what I'm going to do. That's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to speak to you at the point of your need, because Bethel is a place where heaven touches earth. Can we all say amen? Yeah, can we get on board with that? Hallelujah. Let's get on board with that. Now, understand, this does not mean that it's going to be airy-fairy, happy-go-lucky, shouting, laying on the floor all the time. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that, because God's voice is strong, it's resounding, and he demands righteousness, and he demands holiness. Amen? Amen. Look, you know, people, when they come here, and us as members, family members of Bethel, you're not going to feel comfortable here all the time. This ain't a seeker-sensitive place. You know what I'm saying? Does everybody understand the whole seeker-sensitive church movement, where you kind of go into a church and they just want you to kick back and feel good, and they tell you stories in plays and stuff like that? Look, I ain't knocking them. I ain't mad at him at all. I ain't mad at him. But the Lord said, that this ain't that. That's not what this is. When you come here, you're going to feel the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Guess what? Because Bethel is a place where heaven touches earth. Of course we're going to feel the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Of course first we're going to be told, no, you can't live like that. No, you can't think like that. No, it's not okay for you to hit people. No, it's not okay for you to live in unrighteousness. You're going to hear that here. And sometimes you're going to squirm in your chair and not in a good way. And that's okay because God demands righteousness and he demands holiness because that's what always resounds in his house. Does everyone understand? That's what always resounds in his house. God is good. God is right all the time. No exceptions, period. Amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. So this ain't an airy-fairy gospel. Woo-hoo. It's not one of those. It's not one of those. He demands righteousness, and he demands holiness. Now, another thing about Bethel being a place where heaven touches earth is that peculiar stuff is going to happen. Peculiar stuff happens when heaven touches earth. Like, you know, when Elijah was up on the hill and he's like,
you know, I love the story of the prophet Elijah.
Look, Elijah was bad, okay? He was just bad and kind of like cocky in the Holy Ghost. He was sure about God, and I like that in him. I like that. I appreciate that. I appreciate that confidence. And when he was up on that hill, he was telling them, you know, look, you can build your altar and pray to your God and do whatever you want to do. Go on, go on. And there they did it. They did it all day. Praying, shouting, singing to their false god. They built their altar. And then Elijah said, oh, the fire's not coming down. Nothing's happening. Is your God sleeping? Is he taking a nap? That's what he said, for real. Look it up. I'm not making this up. He did that. Ooh, I like that in him. I like that cockiness in the Holy Ghost. He's like, is your God sleeping? Scream louder. Wake him up. And then, no, seriously, Elijah straight up said this. Look it up. He said, maybe he went to relieve himself. Maybe he went to pee. And that's why nothing's happening. So let's just wait a little bit. And when he comes out from doing what he's doing, something's going to happen. Don't you like that cockiness? Isn't that cool? I love that. Elijah has swag. Yeah, I like that in him. I like that in him. And then, you know, then Elijah's like, okay, you're done, you're done, you're done. Nothing's happening because your God ain't real. And then Elijah, he starts praying. He starts telling them to dig a trench around the altar. Dig a trench. And then he tells them to pour water on it. Pour water on it. And they poured a lot of water. Water was just dripping. The trench filled up with water. And then Elijah began to pray. He called on God because he was confident and he was sure. And fire came down from heaven. That's how we roll in here. Okay? We got to get confident. We have to have some certainty about what God can do. Because Bethel is a place where heaven touches earth. We can rest, depend on God. We don't have to be afraid that he's not going to show up, because he is. Because where two or three are gathered in his name, there will he be in the midst, is what the word says. His promises are yes and amen. You know what? I'm going to be a little cocky at God. Yeah, I am, because I'm confident in him. I know what he can do. I've seen it over and over and over and over again. And you know what? When we as family members of Bethel, when we get that type of attitude, and then those people that are lost, searching, and hurting, when they come into this place, God does something for them. He brings that fire down from heaven for their situation. So there's a part that we have to play. There's a part that we have to play. We have to rest and stand solid on the security of our King. He does what he's going to do, and we have to know it, believe it, and stand on it, and watch miracles happen. We've been talking about the glory cloud and how the glory cloud's not coming in. Guess why it's not coming in? Because we're not confident enough yet. We got to build up and be strong in our faith and trust in our King. He does what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it. And guess what? It's good every time. Every time. He does not fail. He does not fail. And you know what? I say that because, one, I got good Bible training when I was a kid. good Bible training when I was a kid. There was a whole bunch of stuff that I learned when I was a child. And a lot of those things I didn't really see in my life when I was a child. And so as I grew up, I was a little shaky in believing that God performed miracles. I was a little shaky in believing that God would talk to me personally. Because the church that I grew up in, we didn't have those types of experiences. But guess what? Those children over there in Kid Zone, they need those experiences. So that as they grow up, they're not shaky. They're not quaking. And so when they're in a situation where, oh my goodness, you know, things get a little hot and heavy. I'm talking about the teenagers. Things get a little hot and heavy when they're kicking it with their boyfriend or their girlfriend. But you know what? When they have a situation, a personal experience with God, they're not questioned about when to stop. They know when to stop. They know when to pull back and say, uh-oh, I'm in trouble right here. I got to get out. I got to go home. Where's my mom? Where's my dad? Somebody come pick me up because I done got a little too hot in this situation. When you have a personal occurrence with God, a personal experience with God, you don't. When you get into those situations, you know where the line is because you felt him. You've seen him. You know that he's real and you know what he demands. So you've got the logos and you've got the rhema and they smash together and they're in your heart and you know how to live. That's what's important. We've got to experience the supernatural. It's important. It's crucial. It keeps us holy. It keeps us righteous. You know, when I grew up in the Baptist church, and we had a whole lot of fire and brimstone sermons, a whole lot of them. And you know what? I think that's probably one of the main things that kept me from getting in trouble because, I'm going to tell you what. I know what hell is. The Baptist church will tell you what hell is. And I was like, I ain't going there. I don't want to be there. People scared of falling off of stuff. I don't want to live there. And I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. And but I just remember saying to myself when I was in college, I said, I don't want to serve God because I'm afraid of him. I said, God, I want to serve you because you love me and because you touch me. I want to know that you are real and that you're kind to me. And you know what? In that very instance, he touched me and he said to me, I am real, daughter, and I love you and obey me because I demand it. But also obey me because you're precious and I have work for you to do. We have to set up a situation. We have to set up an atmosphere in this house for situations like that to happen for our young people and for ourselves as grown-ups. Look, we grown-ups, we don't know it all, and we certainly don't do everything right. Amen. We don't. We don't do everything right. So we need that personal touch from God. It keeps us straight. It keeps us holy. It keeps us righteous. And Bethel is a place where heaven touches earth. So those pure, peculiar, those situations that we can't put our finger on, I don't know what that is. I don't understand why I'm crying right now. And I don't understand why I'm lifting my hands. And I don't understand why I'm shouting. But I'm going to keep doing it because it feels awesome. And then the speaker of that day gets up here, or whoever's up here, they explain it. So you got the rhema and you got the logos. It doesn't matter which comes first. They both just need to be there. Amen? Logos is the word, the actual written word of God. That's what logos is. Rhema is the inspiration. It's that certain something. It's that certain feeling. It's that light bulb moment that says, okay, you've read this scripture. Now this is what it means. Okay, you've had this situation. This is what this situation means. That's what rhema is. We got to have both of them. We got to have both of them. And the Lord has been saying to me, you're good on the logos. Bethel's good on the logos. Now let's get some rhema up in here. That's what he's saying, because that's what people need. They need to feel and see the peculiar and then have it be explained. Now, some of the ways that the peculiar can happen here in our church is the gifts of the Spirit. Need them. We got to desire them. And actually, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, Paul tells us to follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. I didn't make that up. That's not Ivy Cochran's opinion or Pastor Rob's opinion. That's the Apostle Paul and Jesus. Hallelujah. They say, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts. We should want the word of knowledge to flow in here. We should want the word of wisdom to flow in here. We should want gifts of healing, and we should want gifts of tongues. We should want all that stuff. You know, all that stuff is like, you know, when you hear it going on, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I didn't bring a visitor today. Lord Jesus, I don't understand. These people are talking in a language. Don't nobody know what that is. Jesus, come on, make them stop. No, 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 no. God is saying you need all of that stuff to happen in here. You need it. And he says, don't be embarrassed by my presence. This is stuff I've given to you. These are gifts, like at Christmas time. Have you ever, like, I tell you, this Christmas in our house is so, it's so difficult because our children, they just seem to, well, Jaden, she is so picky. And we have this, like, incentives program in our house where the kids, they can earn money all month when they do a chore. We have a chore chart. And if they fill out their chore chart, then they get 25 cents for every chore. And then they can go to the store. And we do that once a month. And so when we have incentive day where they can go to the store and buy whatever they want with their money, I have to say, Otis, you correct me if I'm wrong, I find it to be the most painful experience ever. Because my child cannot decide. She cannot decide. She gets in the store, and she just goes from aisle to aisle to aisle to aisle. And we're there for what? Too long. We are there too long. And, you know, I've tried the whole thing where, you know, we'll get on the internet, and we'll practice, and we'll say, okay, Jaden, this incentive day is coming. You start looking and seeing what you want. It doesn't help because we get in the store, and she still can't pick. Now, Seth goes right in. He knows exactly what he wants. He gets the little temporal buzz that you get from getting your little present, and he's ready to go. But Jaden, no, we're still there. It's a painful process. It's a painful process. And the Lord is saying to us, stop making this a painful process for me. I have aisles of stuff for you. I have aisles of gifts for you. Pick one and use it, and let's go. That's what he's saying. Pick a gift, use it, and let's go. That's what he's saying to us today. He's got lots of stuff for us. Aisles and aisles and oodles of stuff. It's not just the 9 gifts, but, you know, you got, like, gifts of help, stuff that knows people that know how to organize stuff. There's just so many gifts. He's like, look, pick one, use one, and let's go. That's what he's telling us today. So let's be eager and desire the gifts of the Spirit. Let's not be embarrassed by the gifts of the Spirit. Now, earlier, just a few seconds ago, I said, you know, some of the gifts get flowing, and we look at it, and we start saying, oh, I'm so glad I didn't bring a visitor today. Or like when, I don't know, somebody from the dance team gets up and dances a prophetic word, and sometimes people are just like, oh, Lord, here she goes. She flailing again. Some people do that. Or when somebody gets up with a flag or a banner that has a specific color, they're like, oh, okay, pretty flags, yay. Pretty flags, okay, good. Okay, that song's over and she's done. Let's get to the sermon. No, no, no. The Lord said these are gifts. These are things that speak to the people that he wants to bring here. He says don't be embarrassed by them. Use them and let's go and let's see what I'm going to do. That's what he's saying. He said, I got stuff in here that's going, that's moving, and that's flowing. And he's like, ain't nobody really using them yet. We're not using them yet. We haven't, like, tapped into them yet. Oh, my goodness. Michaela last week, she gave a prophetic word about colors. And it was just my prayer and my desire for the media team to use this to prophesy. And it's happening, and it's thrilling. She put up colors. And, you know, it's so hard for me to not turn around and just stare at the screen during praise and worship because, I just think that it's so pretty. And so I just want to stare at it. But, you know, when she used these different colors, and she didn't understand at the time that these colors that she was using were making a sentence. And then she wrote down what she was doing, and then she came up here, and then she blessed us. That little 17-year-old girl doing what she's supposed to do, she found her gift in the aisle. She grabbed it, she used it, and she went with God, and she just let it go. And it was awesome. It blesses us. That's what we have to do. So every day, if you don't get nothing else from this message, let's everybody walk out, and we're going to be like Michaela. We're going to listen to God. We're going to write down what he says, and then we're going to use it. We're going to go with it. Amen? Let's do that together. So We must earnestly desire his gifts and the manifestations of them and not be embarrassed by them. Now, when I first began moving in the gifts of healing, it was so embarrassing. And I remember saying to God, I don't want this gift. I really don't, because when he would use that gift on me, I would just start sweating profusely. I mean, like, I'm not talking about like a little dew. I'm talking about like sweat just dripping. And you know what? It's hard to be cute when you got sweat just like dripping on people and falling on them and stuff. It's hard to be cute. And you know, I was like, you know, there's no point in buying anything nice because it's just gonna be filth when I leave. But that's the way he used me. And I just remember saying, God, okay. This gift, I really like it. I like what it does for people, but could you please make it so that I don't sweat so badly when you're having me use this gift? And he said, okay, all right, I'll make it so that you don't sweat if you move when I tell you to move. Because there were times where he told me to go lay hands on somebody and I missed it. You know, I missed it, or I was too embarrassed, or I was too timid, I was too scared to go when he told me to go. And so he just started making me sweat so badly so that Otis and my former pastor would look at me and say, girl, get up here and lay hands on people, because they knew that that's the way God was moving me. And so I said, God, I will be obedient, and I will move exactly when I hear you tell me to move. And then now, you know, when he uses me in that gift, I don't look so bad. So I'm telling you, don't make God have to make you sweat to use your gift. Don't make him have to do that to you. Just do what he wants you to do when he wants you to do it. He's going to bless you. And even if you mess up a little bit in the gift, we are a loving people. Nobody's going to like flog you. Nobody's going to beat you. We're just going to say, you know what, brother, that was great. Next time when you're moving in that, let's go in this direction. Or get my permission first so I can be there to support you. That's all that's going to happen. Let's not be afraid. Let's be bold and strong in what the Lord has. Let's rest in that confidence like the prophet Elijah and go out and do what he's given for us to do. God has stuff for us to use. Let's be confident and let's do it. Amen? Okay, so now you may have noticed, I can't skip this because this is for you, Pastor. This for you, because Pastor, remember when, I think it was like, I don't know, a couple years ago, and look, Pastor was hammering the mission statement. Y'all remember in the sermons, and then he would like ask us and want us to respond, and so I went home and I memorized them, because I was like, okay, there is not going to be another Sunday where Pastor tells us to say the mission statement, and I can't say every last thing, because he would wait for us to answer, and it would be like dead silence. And I was like, oh, no, where's the bulletin? Where's the bulletin? I know it's written on the bulletin, but no, let's memorize the mission statement, EMS, equipping the saints, ministering to physical and spiritual needs, and saving souls. That's our mission here at Bethel Worship Center. And understand that, look, I'm going to tell you what, Pastor, he's moving in the prophetic. I don't know if you like it too much. I don't know. He'll be honest. He doesn't like it that much. But he's moving in the prophetic, and he's been dead on. And so whenever y'all came up with this mission statement, you were dead on. You're dead on, because EMS, equipping the saints, ministering to souls, and or saving souls and ministering to spiritual and physical needs, that is heaven touching earth. That is us being God's hands in the earth. Let's do it. Amen? Let's do it. And so the next time when Pastor says that in a sermon, we're all going to stand up and say the answer. Yeah, it'll be so exciting. It'll be so exciting. Now, you may have noticed that our praise and worship time has gotten really intense of late. And that's going to continue, and that's going to expand, because that's what he wants. That's what he wants. Now, let's not grow tired in that. Let's not grow tired in that. If he is desiring for us to go deeper, let's press in and go deeper, because there's something there. We're not going to go deeper and find nothing. We're going to go deeper and find something, and it's going to be exciting. So understand that as when the worship music, when it's just kind of going, and you may feel as though that, okay, they're wandering, they're meandering, they're wandering. No, we're not playing. We're not playing just to feel good or because we like this certain thing. Like Brother Bill today, he hit the cowbell, and I just find that exciting. He hit the cowbell today during the offering, and the cowbell just makes me happy. And so, but that's not what it is. What we're doing when we're just playing or we're singing something over and over, we're searching. We're searching. We're looking for something. There's something that he wants to say. There's something that he wants to do. There's something that he wants to illuminate or bring out. So we're not up here just doing nothing. We're not. Worship is not long for no reason. There's a reason. We're searching. We're trying to go deeper. Join us. Go deeper with us. And I guarantee if you do that, we'll probably find the answer faster. We'll get there faster, and oh my goodness, when you do, when we get there, it's so satisfying. It's so satisfying. Our souls, our hearts desire to hear something from our Maker. He satisfies our souls. Now, we do so many things in this world to satisfy our souls. We do so many things to do that, but no. When we connect and press into our Maker, that's where our satisfaction is. That's where our peace is. That's where our joy is. That's where we truly experience love and where we learn how to give love. Press in with us. Go with us. Let's do this together. And I tell you what, that glory cloud will come in here. Yes, it will. It will come right in here. Point two, Bethel is a place to hear and receive God's promises. And that's in Genesis 28, verses 13 and 14. Let's read that real quick. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. And he begins to tell Jacob all this stuff he's going to do with him. Jacob laid there and allowed himself to go deeper. He laid there and he allowed himself to go deeper. He laid there and he allowed himself to go deeper. Understand that back in the Bible days, when people heard the voice of God, they ran in terror. But no, he didn't wake himself up. He laid there and he allowed himself to go deeper. Can we do that? Can we lay there and allow ourselves to go deeper and hear what he has to say and let him do what he wants to do and move the way he wants to move? This is the place. When we do that, we will hear and receive his promises. His voice is alive. His voice is present. I hear the Lord saying that there should be more prophecy here. There should be more prophecy here because there are people coming here that are searching. They don't know what to do. They don't know why they feel a certain way. They don't know. They don't want to think or do this thing that they're doing, but they can't stop. The present and the living voice of God can stop those things from happening. When we lay there and allow God to just speak to us, that person can hear and receive his promises. Can we do that? Can we do that? Can we do that for that person who's hurting, who's wallowing in shame and they can't get themselves out? Can we lay there and allow things to go deeper so that person can get set free? Amen? Let's do that. Let's do that. That's loving our neighbor. That's equipping the saints. That is saving souls. Let's do that together. Now, when those situations happen, that person, or we, because, you know, it can happen for us too. This isn't only for the newcomer. It's for all of us. When we allow that to happen, when we hear and receive God's promises, we know that he loves us. We understand that scripture, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Many of us say that, and we say that because it's a good thing to say, but it's not down deep. It's not down deep. But when you hear God's voice and he speaks to you in your specific situation, you begin to understand and you go deeper in the love of God. And that's what the lost world needs. That's what searching people need. That's what we all need. Amen? So let's do that. I cannot deny that God loves me. I cannot deny it because he has used complete and total strangers to speak to me when I was hurting. He did that. He did that for me. My God will give me direction in every situation. When I have questions, when I don't know what to do, he speaks to me. A really good situation of when that happened was when Jaden came. When Jaden was born, our children are adopted. And when Jaden was born, the Lord told us that she was coming. But when she came into care, she was not in the full care of the government, meaning that the parental rights were not severed. So she could have been taken away from us at any time if the parents had, you know, gotten it together and decided that they wanted her. And so because of that, I didn't let myself love her because I didn't want to be hurt when they came and took her. Just to be completely honest, I didn't want to be hurt. But the Lord spoke to a friend of mine and called me, and he said, love your child. She is your child. She's staying. Love her. No one knew that I felt that way. No one knew that I was doing that. I completely wasn't advertising it because, frankly, it was a little embarrassing. But no one knew that, but the living, present, resounding voice of God called me up on the phone, and he told me, love her. Take care of her. She is your child. And I have been loving her unconditionally every day since. God will guide us in every situation. Every situation. Bethel is a place to dream dreams. So many people come here and their dreams are dead. They don't dream anymore. They're too afraid. They're too lost. But when you come here, God opens that again. He reignites it. And then that person's step, their footing is lighter. They have more joy. They have more hope. God reignites hope here because Bethel is a place to dream dreams. Bethel is a place to rest. So many of us are tired. So many of us are going through garbage. The world throws things on us, the scripture, it rains on the just and the unjust. When you come here, when you come into this house, you can rest. You can feel peaceful. You can get joy again. You can get reignited. You get edified so that you can go out, arise, and conquer. That's what happens here. That's what happens here. The Lord says, do you know where you are? The Lord says, do you know where you are? You are in a place where people can dream dreams. You are in a place where people can rest, where people have a home. Sometimes people come, we've heard it said that, you know, I just like the way I'm feeling lately. You like the way you're feeling is because Bethel is a place where heaven touches earth, where you can dream dreams, where you can rest. That is what we are. That is what we are. Let's embrace it today. Now, in the scripture, when Jacob woke up in verse 18, he rose up early in the morning and he took the stone that he had put at his head, and he set it up as a pillar, and he poured oil on top of it. Basically, what Jacob did when he did that, he heard the promises of God, and he set up that altar and he said, I'm setting this up because I agree with you, God. I agree with you, God. I hear what you're saying to me. I hear your promises, and I agree with you. And he poured oil on it to show his agreement. Now, there's some oil that we here at Bethel, we have to pour it out to say to him, I agree with you. I agree with you that Bethel is a place where heaven touches earth. Bethel is a place where people can dream dreams. Bethel is a place to rest. There's some oil that we need to be pouring out. Now, that oil is going to be different for each and every one of us. But the Lord desires your agreement. He desires for you, for all of us, to grab what he's saying, use that thing, and go. That's what he desires today. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. For some of us, we're going to grab hold of that right now. We're going to grab hold of his vision, and we're going to go with it. We're going to go with it. Some of us, it will happen later. I challenge you today that if you don't feel it, if you don't understand it, just say, God, I don't know what you're talking about today, but I know that you are real, and I want to do what you say. Can we all do that? Can we all do that? Father God, just agree with me in prayer. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for speaking to my heart. I thank you, Lord God, and I pray and I ask you to do whatever you want to do. We say, aye, sir. We say that we are submitted. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for those that you are going to bring to us. We thank you for that, oh God. And Lord, we thank you that when they come here, that they will sense your agape love. They'll sense it, and they will find a home here. We thank you for that, oh God. Lord, not just for the benefits of this building, of this church, but for theirs and for their family and for their family that don't live with them, for their cousins, their aunts, uncles. Lord, may we touch earth. May we touch earth. We desire to be your hands, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Yes.
You are welcome here. Come flow.
Our prayer today. You are welcome here, Holy Spirit. You are welcome here, Holy Spirit. Do whatever you want to do in us, God.
Hallelujah. Powerful word. Place where, wow, Bethel, the place where heaven touches earth. God, all these things, dreams and rest. This is a place where God wants to touch lives. Really appreciate that word that Ivy received from the Lord. This is a specific word for Bethel Worship Center. One that we can take, one that we can run with, one that we can receive, one that we can share with other people. As we go from this place today, I hope that you receive something from that message. You're going to be able to carry it with you the rest of this week and be able to touch other people with it as well. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that you have brought to us so many good people and godly people with a desire to serve you. Lord, we do want to see your glory cloud and your manifestation of your gifts in this place. People's hearts and minds will be touched. I thank you this morning for Ivy and for her word, for all that she means to us and the obedience that she walks in. Father, help us all together to unite, to move in unity toward the ultimate goal of building your kingdom and seeing your power released in people's lives. Bring your anointing, Lord. Bring your power. Release the name of Jesus to do miracles and work in the lives of your people. As we walk in obedience before you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy this holiday weekend.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.